ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रेडी फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम् 11th canto, chapter 3, Liberation from the Illusory Energy, text number 47. Yashatade grandhim, nirjihirshu paratmanaha, vithinopacare devam chandroktena chakeshavam yaha
one who
ashu quickly
hridaya grandhim
the knot of the heart false identification with the material body nirjihirshu desirous of cutting parātmanaḥ
of the transcendental soul
vidhinā
with the regulations
upacharet
he should worship
devam
the supreme personality of Godhead
Tantra Uttena,
which are described by the Tantras,
the supplementary Vedic literatures, that give detailed instruction for spiritual practice.
As well.
In addition to those regulations which are directly Vedoktam.
Keshavam,
Lord Keshava. Translation: one who desires to quickly cut the knot of false ego which binds the spirit soul should worship the Supreme Lord Keshava by the regulations found in Vedic literature such as the Tantras. Purport by servants of His Divine Deity Bhaktivedanta Swami Rashila Prabhupada. The Vedic literatures contain mysterious descriptions of the absolute truth that stimulate philosophical speculation. The Vedas also offer heavenly rewards for the performance of ritualistic ceremonies. But as stated in verse 44 of this chapter, such Jnanakanda and Karmakanda sections of the Vedas are Balanam Anushasanam, that is, because less intelligent or childish persons are addicted to mental speculation and fruitive activity, these sections of the Vedas are meant to attract such persons to take shelter of the Vedic injunction for gradual promotion to the perfect stage of Krishna consciousness. Now that the path for those who are materialistic has been described in several verses. This verse describes the process for those who are Vigya or learned transcendentalists. Such learned transcendentalists are advised to follow the regulated worship described in such Vaishnava Tantras such as Sri Narada Pancharatra for pleasing the Supreme Lord directly. The word Upachare Devam Tandroktena Chakeshavam indicates that one should directly worship Keshava, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears in many different incarnations to please His devotees. Srila Jayadeva Goswami has described the pastimes of the Lord in his song describing 10 prominent incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Keshava. Lord Fish, Lord Tortoise, Lord Boar, Lord Narasimhadev, Lord Vamana, Lord Parashurama, Lord Ramachandra, Lord Balaram, Lord Buddha and Lord Kalki. The verse Upachare Devam indicates devotion service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore the word Tantra Uttena or injunctions of the Tantras should be understood to indicate Vaishnava tantras such as Sri Narada Pancharatra, which gives explicit and detailed instructions for worshipping Keshava. The Vedas are referred to by the term Nigama, and the elaborate explanation of this Nigama is called Agama or Tantra. When the transcendental living entity becomes perturbed by the obnoxious harassment of materialistic bodily dualities, he becomes eager to hear from the Vedas about his transcendental situation. The word Ashu in this verse indicates that those who are eager to put a quick end to material existence and situate themselves in the eternal blissful life of perfect knowledge should directly worship Lord Keshava, worship Lord Krishna, bypassing the preliminary Vedic rituals described in the previous verses. Om Jnana Timranthasya Jnana Jana Shalakhaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Savitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Tadadiva Padamayam Vandeham Hum Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Sandhajivam Sadvitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitam Sha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशाचारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 and my preparation, so it will be a short class and it will be good for the book distributors because we will get more time to distribute books. So here the first part is mentioned different sections of the Vedas as given here as Jnana Kanda and Karma Kanda, which are not actually the devotional service, which is quite different from devotion service. Karmakanda as such it is fruitive. Fruitive meaning we expect something in return while performing this kind of activities. I remember when I was a kid, I had some disease which was quite serious and I was hospitalized. And you know, the doctor went through all the checkup and everything, and my mother was quite afraid, you know, what I was going through. It is a quite heavy stuff. So she was thinking, okay, what to do now? And as, you know, the ritualistic, you know, the Indian lady, what she did, she thought, okay, I would do a big offering to Lord Ganesh. So she prayed, okay, I will do, you know, coconuts. I will offer all these coconuts to Lord Ganesh. That, you know, counts around a few hundreds. if I get cured. And sure enough, after a few days, I was, you know, I came, I was all right, and things went well. And I was taken to one of these Ganesh temples, and there was a huge pile of coconuts, and my task was to throw in front of Lord Ganesh. So there was a granite stone kept there, and you know, somebody told, if you had to actually satisfy him, and if you had to fulfill your desires, you should actually, you know, coconut is spherical, so you should make equal hemispheres, you know, equal, cut into half. When you should throw in very carefully, so that it will cut into two equal pieces. And okay, so I was very happy, because so far I have thrown only cricket balls, and now I am getting, you know, a lot of coconuts in front of me. So I went, you know, there are few packs of coconuts, and, you know, I just started throwing 1, 2, 3, and I was, you know, as a kid, and I was very happy actually, you know. Such a nice exercise, and, you know, just, you know, different aiming and, you know, different part of the stone. So this is kind of, you know, the karmakanda activities. Hopefully it is classified. Maybe it's unclassified, I don't know. So this is the sort of, you know, ritualistic activities one caught up to when follows Vedas without much understanding. That is, without following any spiritual master or without following any disciplic succession. And also we can see, you know, there are so many examples like that. You know, today I was discussing, you know, about my cousin. There was a prominent worship of, or to some degree, about Lord Kartikeya, you know, son of Lord Shiva. So what they used to do, yearly, there used to be a procession in which all these people, they used to dance, you know, carrying different items of offerings for Lord Kartikeya. And some people do severe austerities. And this austerity is actually piercing iron rod from here, you know, one sheet, it will go inside and it comes here and it goes like that. So there will be an iron rod hanging like that, and then we can, some people hang few small pots at the both the edges, and some people fit, you know, the kind of trident on the both the edges, and they just dance for the pleasure of Kartikeya, supposedly. So I have seen that many times, and I had an elder cousin, and he decided, you know, I should do this time, I should do some severe austerities. So I will pierce my cheek with this iron rod and will dance and will go on the procession. So it was quite, you know, it was quite heavy. And my auntie started crying actually, because, you know, how can you do that? You know, there will be a permanent hole here, and, you know, what is this? And also the technology is quite primitive. There is no anesthesia. There is some butter, you know, the cold butter kept just here. Put some cold water here. It will come out here. Put some cold water here. That's it. So he went, and he, you know, he was telling everyone, you know, look, I'm going to do this, you know, I'm very brave, and, you know, I will do this, and, you know, you see it, I'll go for it. Okay, so, you know, though the family didn't agree to, he went. Because family, okay, they will allow all the austerities which doesn't, you know, involve the body, which will not affect body. Otherwise they don't allow. So in this case they didn't. He went, and he saw his friend, you know, next to him. He was, you know, this man came, and, you know, he started piercing him, and, you know, the blood started flowing out. He came to the next one, again blood started flowing out. And my cousin actually got fainted seeing this. And that was the end of his adventure. He came back. He said, you know, after some time he said, no, this is not for me. This is too much for me. So this is the kind of austerity, mostly, I don't think, I'm not sure whether it is described in Vedas or not. It may or may not be. However, pretty much it looks the austerity in the mode of ignorance, because it involves self-torture. Sometimes self-torture for oneself, and sometimes that is aimed at, you know, troubling others. So this is the kind of activity people perform in Karmakanda, and which is not really recommended for advancement in spiritual life. So our austerities are quite simple, you know, fasting for Ekadashi, which is again a feasting, and, you know, then some acharyas or supreme lords appearance, half day fasting, or, you know, Janmashtami, you know, once in a year, just fasting till midnight, or for Bhima Ekadashi, Pandava Nirjala Ekadashi, we fast for the whole day. That is the sort of austerity we have. We don't have any physical austerities as such, which is so severe. It isn't there. I don't worry, who was telling you? Ramaswamy Maharaj is telling past time of Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I think everyone must remember, but it's very interesting. I think LA or something, Prabhupada was telling, Krishna consciousness is very simple. You know, it is just, you know, chanting Hare Krishna. So everyone said, you know, Jai Prabhupada. Then said, you know, it is just feasting. So everyone said, oh, Jai Prabhupada. Everyone was very happy. And then after when everyone said, Jai Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, still you cannot do it. So it is like, so in one sense it is quite simple, but we find sometimes it's difficult. Another Karmakanda incident I remember is, it was before becoming a devotee, I went to another temple in Melbourne. And again I saw a couple, you know, sort of middle aged, and you know, looks like, you know, so many golden rings on most of his fingers, and you know, looks like quite rich. And looked like quite a, you know, business people. So I was just observing them. So when they went in front of a, you know, a demigod, and the priest was, you know, inviting and, you know, giving full attention to them. And after that, you know, the priest went inside, you know, started his offering and, you know, puja and stuff like that. And I was a bit, you know, curious. I wanted to hear what mantras are they going to chant. So I just went near the altar and, you know, I just started listening, you know, what are they chanting actually. Then I heard few stuff and I really got shocked. He was telling, you know, 7-Eleven Uberi Uberi, Indian restaurant Uberi Uberi, you know, saying, meaning, you know, all glory, you know, all prosperity to Indian restaurant, all prosperity to, you know, 7-Eleven. I was really, you know, shocked. I was not a devotee, still I was shocked. You know, what kind of mantra are they chanting? They are basically selling meat, you know, 7-Eleven meat, they had to sell meat and, you know, most of the abominable stuff. And Indian restaurant, of course, you know, it's just meat. And they are actually praying to demigods to, you know, flourish these kinds of business. And, you know, this is what happens when people lack knowledge. The so-called followers of Veda, they don't understand what really are they doing. And we cannot say this is actually they are following Karmakanda. Because if somebody is really doing Karmakanda, there are few requirements. That is, one who does that, the priest has to be qualified, that it has to be performed in the appropriate place, it has to be performed in the appropriate time, the charity, if it is given to that qualified person, and the priest who is doing and who is actually participating in this kind of processes, they should know what is the meaning of it. Without that, it is usually a useless effort. And even if somebody does very perfectly, and if there is a slight mistake, there is heavy reaction to it. We can see in Bhagavatam, when Tvashta was performing heavy Karmakanda sacrifice to generate a person who can kill Lord Indra. Because Vishwarup was killed by Indra, so for the revenge, Lord Indra wanted to kill him. Sorry, Tvashta wanted to kill Lord Indra. And he started performing the sacrifice. And what he did, he pronounced one mantra slightly wrongly. It's like Indra Chatra. He wanted to pronounce Indra Chatra, meaning the enemy of Indra who will kill Indra. But for that, he added one extra syllable, that is A. So he said Indra Chatra. Instead of Indra Chatra, he said Indra Chatra. So there is only a minute difference between these two words. However, as a result of that, somebody who was born, who was ultimately killed by Indra. Instead of becoming the killer of Indra, he was killed by Indra. That was Vritrasura. So this is the case. When one performs this kind of Karmakanda sacrifice, even perfectly, even if there is a slight mistake, there is heavy reaction. One time, Narasimha Kaucha Prabhu was giving a lecture. He was mentioning, when we approach, you know, bathing the Lord and, you know, getting Charanamrita and stuff like that, if somebody does it as a Karmakanda activity, the reaction for, you know, wasting a drop of Charanamrita is like, you know, some severe, you know, horrible birth for many lifetimes. But whereas for the devotees, it's not really affected. We are not punished in that way because it's completely a different realm. Even there is example of Nrga. Nrga Maharaj, Nrga, he was doing so much of charity. He was distributing thousands and thousands and thousands of cows to Brahmana. But unfortunately, there was a mix-up. That is, he gave some cows to one Brahmana, and he gave some of the same cows to another Brahmana. And ultimately, there was a quarrel between these two Brahmins. and they wanted, they were claiming, no, this is my cows. And another Brahmana said, no, no, this is mine. And ultimately, both of them didn't agree. They said, both said, no, we want these cows. And when they came, approached King Nruka, Nruka said, it's alright, I can give you extra cows for each of you. Don't worry about it. But they didn't agree. And they Nruka got cursed to take a birth as a lizard, I think, in a lizard. So, this is the sort of, you know, if one does this kind of karmakanda activities, with the slightest mistake, there is heavy reaction. And other than that, there is not actually any benefit for it. Okay, there is of course some gradual progression in terms of elevating one's faith in Vedas increases, because if somebody is following Veda and if he is getting some material benefits at least, his faith in the Vedas increases. So that is one of the advantages of performing this kind of karmakanda activities. But if you consider the ultimate, there is not much benefit. Actually, Narottama Das Thakur says, even if somebody does this karmakanda nicely, he says, karmakanda, jnanakanda, kevala, vishera, bhanda. Meaning, this karmakanda and this jnanakanda, they are just like, you know, pots of poison. And people are just drinking, considering it to be nectar. But actually, it's of no use. And when we consider, you know, the so-called activities in the name of karmakanda, which is actually the activities which is not prescribed in Veda, it is, you know, what's the use of it? There is no use as such. So instead, it is recommended to participate in the Sankirtan Yajna, which is Kevala Ananda Kanda. Meaning, it is, you know, it's full of nectar. Here, there is, the verse says, you know, one who is desirous to quickly cut the knot of false ego, which binds the spin soul, should worship the Supreme Lord Keshava. So, the actual process for purification and elevation to Krishna consciousness is the process of the devotional service. The karma or the jnana path cannot actually lead to devotional service by in itself. So one should perform devotional service. So here we can say, one can quickly cut the knot of false ego. Because when we come to the Krishna consciousness, we tend to follow the rules and regulations. You know, we chant 16 rounds, you know, we follow the regulative principles, you know, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. So we do all these kinds of activities. However, when we see the manifestations of false ego, it is much deeper. One can externally, we can give up all these things externally, but when we look inside, it is a horror scene. You know, that's very, so much of nonsense basically inside. So the subtle things to remove, it is even more harder. The external things one can follow the regulative principle externally. That is good, but that is a start. But when it comes to, when we look inside, to remove the anarthas within, the subtle anarthas, that is very difficult. That actually comes, even, you know, one might give up for some time, it can again keep coming. So that is you know, that is all in association with the note of false ego, because ultimately all these things are coming from misidentification with the material body. Because the spirit soul, even though it is completely transcendental to the material body, identifies completely with the mind and the senses. Then it becomes, you know, it goes through the whole trouble of material existence. There is actually a nice statement in the teachings of four Kumaras. They describe, you know, how to actually give some kind of more understanding, how to remove the false ego or the deep ignorance within the tight knot of material hankering. How to give up? They give some hints towards that. Actually, they say it is yatpada pangaja palasa vilasa bhutya karmashayam grathitam udgradhayanti santa tadvanna rikta matayo yatayo viruddham shodaganastam aranam bhaja vasudeva. They say, by the process of this, it actually has the same meaning as this, at the first part. That is, by worshipping the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he is yatpada pangaja. And palasha vilasa bhaktiya. So that lotus feet, he's saying it is very beautiful. It is just like its beauty is always increasing. Krishna's beauty is ever expanding. By worshipping such a lotus feet, one can actually give up the false identification with the material body. So it is said, with one's senses, one has to absorb in the beauty and other qualities of the Supreme Lord. Because when you see the deities, their home is so beautiful. And we hear about their pastimes, we chant their names. So in this way, one has to absorb one's senses or mind in the Supreme Lord. And by that, actually one can give up the other part, that is, which is not required. So it is said, otherwise what happens, if we don't try to develop that kind of interest, that kind of absorption or that kind of engagement in the Supreme Lord, there is nothing else to think about. Then whatever we are thinking about or whatever we are absorbed becomes completely material, because one has to think, one has to plan something. One cannot have an empty mind, or one cannot have senses, you know, just inactive. It is not possible. One has to act and one has to think. So the question arises, what? So Kumaras are saying, if one doesn't absorb oneself in the Supreme Lord, then the alternate option is Ruddha, means non-Krishna conscious activities and non-Krishna conscious thoughts. And by that, one's senses just become just like reverse. You know, the reverse, which has got so many branches, it goes all over the places. It just erupts and it goes in all directions. In the same way, our senses and the mind will also go in different directions. So the solution given is just try to absorb more in the Krishna consciousness. And now, people, you know, we cannot say people are actually, even though we describe karma or jnana kanda, we cannot say people are following all these things in this age. People are not, they don't even know what is karma or what is jnana. People are completely interested and engrossed in the sense gratification, you know, to, you know, gain pleasure out of the senses. That is the whole process going on. And they are quite sensitive regarding that. If someone, you know, I was talking to one lady, we were at the catering, we were talking to one lady, you know, the old lady, she was coming and complaining because one of her devotees asked for some water. So, you know, I was coming and he was saying, no, we don't provide it, we don't have any arrangement for you. You know, even one slightly interfere in their, you know, the process of their sense enjoyment in any way, to slightest extent, immediately they complain. That is the nature. They are very sensitive to their sense gratification, not to their ultimate quest of life, but for sense gratification. So this month, you know, I was listening to my spiritual master's lecture, you know, about marathon. So he was mentioning, this month, you know, one should actually go out and try to distribute books as many as possible, because now is the time where one can actually help out and one can reach out many. And people are willing to spend money to some degree, at least this month, due to Christmas and, you know, the holiday. And on top of that, he was mentioning to the devotees that you have to actually come out of the mental platform. You say to your mind, he was instructing, you know, you say to your mind, I will take care of your needs after 1 month. Till then, I won't listen to you. You be patient for a month. 1 month, you just go and do it. And by that, one can actually feel, one can really get purified. And one can serve a lot of people by introducing them to Krishna. So he was mentioning, so I was listening and I was thinking, okay, it's a very wonderful opportunity. And with this, I stop here and see if there are any comments or questions or corrections. Yes, Prabhu.
Isn't that verse that says that
but not a false ego, we have to follow
the rules and regulations, like, or the principles change? Yes, sure. Sometimes we get false ego from performing the rules and regulations. Like, if we think we're advancing, if we think we're, like, taking a new step, we get a false ego just from chanting, singing, and being a devotee, especially if we get some position.
Yeah, that's right.
So how do we get that false ego?
Okay. Yeah. Because when we follow rules and regulations, there are a few things. When we follow the rules and regulations of devotion service, it helps us, because that is the only way we can actually fix ourselves in the devotion service. But when we follow and we keep going, we may get position and we may get glorified, and we just become ourselves proud of just following the rules and regulations. So that is actually called the weeds. So it is said, when we are trying to plant some seeds, actually we are trying to plant of bhakti lata bees, the seed of devotional service. So when it is actually trying to sprout and when it is just coming out, along with that there are some weeds also sprouting and coming. And that looks very similar to the actual bhakti plant. And we actually get confused and we water all these seeds. And both the bhakti plant will grow to some degree and the weed can come and it can overtake. It can actually shadow and it can actually create a mess. And the bhakti can actually be completely destroyed. So in principle, one has to understand that one should be humble. That is in principle. And it is said, one can remain humble if one keeps that practice of serving Vaishnavas. So if we consider ourselves as, the servant of Vaishnavas, and even if we have difficulty to think in that way, if we just act externally, just, keep serving the Vaishnavas, with that service mood, actually the humility can come. Krishna can help. Simultaneously practicing, chanting and other regulations in the devotional service. Anyone would like to comment on it? Yes, sir.
I had an experience yesterday on some of the festival. I read this sloka on Sunday.
Mm.
So then yesterday it kept coming back to me.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, because my own pride, I was thinking, I was doing this and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then when I continued with that verse, then it kept checking my pride, so to speak. It felt really good to just have it keep coming back, like that. But it's ecstatic. It's a really nice verse. The whole section. It's just.
Yeah. It's cool. Very deep.
Yeah.
Chantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.